under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on into Hump Day Wednesday, May 27, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Want to thank Dell Reynolds for getting everything back up and running today. Looking forward to a great show with you guys. First of all, I would like to thank Tim Miller, Sadak Group Architectural Firm in Gaylord, as well as all of the others who wrote letters to the Gaylord City Council. Packed house last night, not one empty seat, and standing room only down both sides of the walls and in the back. Completely packed house. Public comment, most of the citizens, local citizens who live in Gaylord, were against the rezoning of the 18 acres on I-75 that the city of Gaylord has owned since the 1990s, producing no revenue, no taxes, nothing, just vacant land sitting there. Well, two new members were appointed to the city council to get them back to full strength. In the end, they took a vote and they passed 5-3 to rezone the property from R1 single family residential that no builder developer was ever going to develop into Anthony Randazzo's proposed 42 duplexes, 84 new brand new units for rent in the city of Gaylord. It was approved last night. Now he can get down to finalizing his drawings, submit them for the building permit, and hopefully get started building them this summer. 84 brand new rentals coming online probably next year. So I want to thank everybody again, Tim Miller, Sidoc Group, architectural firm, so many others that wrote letters to the city council members, and for them finally doing the right thing, getting more housing here in northern Michigan. Many folks argued it was the last, if not the last, one or two of the last remaining R1 zoning areas in the city limits. The bottom line is it's surrounded by apartments, other R2 zonings, and the neighbor directly next door was rezoned from R1 to R2 as well years ago. So they did the right thing. I want to thank the city council members who voted for it. Now the project's moving forward. We need more housing in northern Michigan. people have this not in my backyard NIMBY attitude toward change, and it's got to stop. This development now will bring in close to half a billion over the next 10 years, $430,000 a year in taxes, $4.3 million in taxes. I'm getting my stories mixed up with Lansing. I got a $1 billion tax bill that I'm looking at. So much to talk about today's show. But the bottom line, this project's moving forward. Again, $500,000 in taxes per year coming into the city of Gaylord's coffers. So thank you to those city council members. Thank you for everybody that showed up and participated. Good public debate. In the end, it passed 5-3. Short break. Dr. Jeff is in the house. Text me any questions for Ask the Vet. We'll be right back.
Road Trip, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall, is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word, is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip, Likely to Succeed, makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number one here on this hump day Wednesday. Ask the Vet. Dr. Jeff is in the house, Sioux Animal Hospital up in Sault Ste. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, we need to update your commercial.
Ah, Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Well, you've owned it now for how many years? Because I just heard it again. 35 years, and I know you're over 40 by now.
Yes, 41.
How long has the Sioux Animal Hospital been in business at that location?
43. Is that 41 now? I don't know. It's too early to do math.
43. 43 years. 43. You said 1983.
Yeah, 83. Yep. Oh, yeah, that would be 43. Yep.
Okay, we're going to have to update that. And also want to put in the commercial about you being on with us every Wednesday in Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff, because I know a lot of people enjoy it and have sent me a couple of text messages already. But one of the things that I did want to talk about, you were at some training last week. Explain where you were at. What were you doing?
So I was down in Las Vegas. It's just that's just where the center is. But the learning how to use the endoscopes that we bought, or learning more specifically how to use them and use that. So now we are able to do all kinds of upper GI studies, lower GI studies. So if you've got dogs that are chronic vomiters, and you know, or chronic vomiters, chronic gastric upsets, things like that, you know, we can go ahead and scope them and, you know, get biopsy samples and stuff like that. Just like if you had to go down to Michigan State. And I believe, actually, I think we're the only ones. It's kind of why I bought the endoscopes, is because I was getting cases that we needed to do endoscopy on, and the closest one was Michigan State. And I'm like, well, okay. So then I started looking. I'm like, you know, there's probably a market here for that. So we have now added that to it. And so we can do, you know, stomachs and esophagus and, you know, like with what you would call an upper GI. We can also do colonoscopies, things like that. So you've got animals that have chronic diarrhea that's non-responsive, or you're having issues with it, we can do that. You can do some foreign body retrieval sometimes if it's still in the stomach. So we did that actually when we were at training. They take dogs from the shelter and they bring them in and they do everything just like, you know, we would do here, and they knock them out and they have them down. And then we had our instructors were there helping us, and they had fed these dogs some like small some small pieces of, you know, little four, like Legos or coins or things like that. And then we got to go in with the endoscope and try to pull them out. So what I did find out was all those years of playing video games has now paid off, because people that play video games to a certain extent are have a better chance of doing this, or are more able to do this. Because it's looking at the screen and trying to realize which way you're moving the knobs is which way it's going to move on the screen, you know, and things like that. We can also do bladders. So we can go up and look inside bladders if you have chronic urinary tract issues, things like that. We can go up at noses. So if you've got animals that have chronic nasal discharges and like that, we can also do, like I said, we can do this in horses as well, too, because I've got the equine scopes, and I've also got the equine gastroscope, so we can go down and look in stomachs as well, too. So.
Oh, too cool. Excellent. Yep. Excellent.
Yep.
Well, I got a very lengthy question from Summer that I'm going to text to your cell phone, and I'm going to give you Summer's phone number. She's down in Heartland, Michigan, listening, and you take your time on this one, go through it.
Sure.
The text is rather long, but I think it's exactly what you're describing. Something's going on with a family cat, her aunt, I believe. And so I'll send you that. We'll talk about that maybe next Wednesday. We'll get into that.
Okay.
I think I might have a candidate for your scope.
All right.
My very own Mr. Snoop is still doing that hacking cough, that guttural, trying to get something cleared out of his throat or whatever.
Okay.
So, you know, last time we were there, you did x-rays and you used your visual to look down his throat.
Yeah.
But now I think maybe we might need to go down there and see what's going on, whether or not there's some kind of tumor or something growing inside his throat. There's something aggravating him. So we'll definitely make arrangements, and I'll come up and see you next week.
Well, one thing we did learn down there is that GERD, or gastric reflux, is a bigger problem in dogs than we ever thought. And one of the signs that of that is chronic coughing, gagging, things like that, too.
Okay.
That's something that we can see fairly easily going down looking in the esophagus.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Yep. So we might have your first candidate for you to use the new equipment on. And this equipment, now, this was, I'm assuming, probably pretty expensive technology, especially since you got it available not just for cats and dogs, but also your horses. Pretty expensive equipment.
Yeah, it wasn't free. The price has come down, though. I mean, come down quite a bit from what it was before.
Good.
Way back in time, the cables were fiber optic, okay? And so they broke, and they were very fragile, and they were hard to use, and they were very expensive as well, too. Well, now, instead of putting the camera in the handpiece and then having the lens at the end and, you know, having the fiber optic cable, now everything's smaller, you know, computers smaller, cheaper, faster. They just put the camera in the end of the, you know, they put the camera in the end of the scope. So the only thing running down the scope is just the electronics and the wires and stuff that control it. So it has actually cut it probably about in half.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
You know, so, I mean, still not, you know, still half of $150 to $1,000, but, you know, it's a lot less than it used to be.
Excellent, excellent. Well, this technology, I know a lot of vets, you know, going to this type of technology because, like you said, for you to be able to actually go down there, travel down there and see, you know, going right in through the mouth down into the, all the way to the stomach. How far down can you get into the small, large intestines? Where do you stop on this?
You stop when you run out of scope, honestly.
Okay.
And the scope's about 150 centimeters long, so depends on the size of the dog. But you can get through usually, you know, into the stomach. Obviously, you can go down the esophagus. You can get into the stomach. And then the first part of the intestinal tract is what's called the duodenum because your small intestine is broken into three sections.
Right.
They call it duodenum, jejunum, and ileum. And so we can get into that first part pretty easily. And sometimes you can get down. Of course, there's a big curve you got to make going around the backside of it to get up into the jejunum. But then you can get up into the jejunum, which is the biggest part of the intestinal tract, and, you know, collect. And usually then we run little tools down through it, and then we can get little biopsy pieces and things like that. And so we can get answers. So.
Excellent, excellent. Well, one thing I did have this other question that came in, flea and ticks. Have you heard of what's going on with this white dot on the back of this tick, the Lone Star tick? Do you know anything about that?
Lone Star tick is a tick that is working its way this way. This usually was found down south and things like that. And I'm assuming you're talking about the protein allergy that they can carry.
Right. Something about once you get bit with this, you actually, not only do you get sick, vomit, diarrhea, all kinds of things happening, but potentially it does something to make you allergic to meat enzyme proteins.
Yes.
What the heck is going on with that?
It is a, I'm actually going to Google it here because now it's bothering me. Alpha-Gal syndrome, alpha-GAL syndrome, that's what it is. Okay.
Okay.
But what it is, it makes you allergic. This kind of protein is a protein that is typically only found in red meat.
Okay. Red meat.
Yep. So pork. Pork is not the other white meat, it is red meat. And the you know, beef and stuff like that. So what happens is if you get bit with this and you can develop that. Not everybody is going to do it, but you can go ahead and get a bit, and you wind up with an allergy to meat, and then basically you can't eat steak anymore.
Whoa.
So, yeah. Yeah, I know, really. Like, wait a minute.
That's not good.
Yep. Some dairy products can have an issue with it too, but it's usually typically meat, red meat. Okay. I think with chicken and so non like mammalian sources, so I think fish and chicken and like that, you're still okay. But I mean, I'm an American.
I eat beef and pork.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yep. Now, there was a post I received, somebody sent to me, said that Bill Gates was funding some kind of research on this, his anti-meat agenda, and said that he was somehow involved in human engineering this transmutant Lone Star tick. And I'm going to do some more research into it. Have you heard anything about that as far as,
No, this has been
Bill Gates being involved?
This has been around for a long time. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of, people like to talk, you get the internet theories and stuff like that. But, no, this has kind of been around, has been known for a long, because I even remember it in school talking about it. And obviously Michigan, we didn't have Lone Star ticks. So, but, yeah, it's, you got to make sure you're keeping the ticks off you.
Yeah, definitely. What's the best way, in your opinion, for the animals? We know we have flea and tick medicines, trio that you like, I believe, Simparica or whatever it's called.
Yep, Simparica trio. Yep.
Yes, that's a good one. But also, now that it's, full-born, blown warmer weather coming, the ticks are out even more. Do you think people should also put some topicals on there?
It wouldn't hurt. You can double up if you want to, especially if you're in a high tick load area. You can certainly double up with an oral and a topical. You're not going to hurt them at all if you do that. So now don't double up in like two, orals like Brevecto and Simparica Trio, because you're kind of now you're doubling up, what's inside the dog. And typically what you put on the dog doesn't get into the dog. It just stays on the skin.
Stays in the skin and in the coat.
Yep. Got it. And that's the other thing too, just with yourself when you're out there, blouse your pant legs, all military guys knows what I mean, where you kind of take your pant legs and kind of tie them shut, kind of helps keep the ticks out of them, or tuck your boots, tuck your pants into your socks or whatnot.
Right. Well, that's one thing. The ticks usually on the ground usually crawl up the leg, right?
Yep. They have a negative what's the scientific way of saying it? They have a negative effect on gravity. They crawl away from gravity. So, because we have it too, we'll get ticks in here and we'll like put them in like a test tube or something with a stopper on it, and then no matter if you take it and you put it upside down where it ticks on the bottom, it'll crawl to the top of the tube, and if you turn the tube over, it'll crawl to the top of the tube again. They crawl up.
They hate gravity.
They don't like it. Yep. So that's what happens is you pick them up on your pants. That's why I've never, I had a tick on me the other day. I have no idea. I was in a tractor all day, so I really don't know where he came from. But the, he was on my chest, As thinking back, I don't think I've ever picked a tick off my foot. I mean, probably they do, but usually you're not picking them off your lower legs. You're not picking them off your feet or whatnot. They usually crawl up. So that's why you'll find them, up around your waist area. Waistbands is a big one in humans, armpits, back and neck, things like that.
Got it. Any more questions for Dr. Jeff? You can get a hold of him at the Sioux Animal Hospital, 906-635-5910. Jeff, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
This is Michigan.